Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here in this new year, as Dwayne mentioned this morning. First time in 2021. 2020 is behind us. That is now part of history. What happened in 2020? In 2020 cannot be changed. We can think back on the mistakes that we made, maybe the things we did, what we thought was right, but that's behind us. And this morning we are looking forward into a new year, and we don't know how much of this new year we're going to have. We don't know if this is the only Sunday we're going to have here, or if we'll have 51 more. We don't know that. But we're at the beginning of this new year, and many things are just the same as they were a few days ago, aren't they? Not a lot different, but there's something new, even if it's only psychological, about getting that new calendar out and opening it up to, turning it to January, first page. It's a clean slate, maybe new perspective. Many people have made New Year's resolutions. Maybe you made some New Year's resolutions, some things you're going to do different this year than you did last year. Maybe you have a new commitment to whatever it is. And there's many good things that we could commit to this morning for this new year. But this morning I'd like to think about walking with God in this new year. The title for the message is Walking with God. You can turn to Micah chapter 6 for a few verses to get started here this morning. My mind was drawn to this subject as I thought about a new year and walking with God in this new year. Now, I believe Tim brought a message a few weeks or a few months ago from this passage. It was a message on humility, so we won't look at that aspect of this passage this morning, but I want to start reading in verse 6, Micah 6, verse 6. Might be a little harder to find for some. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's in the Minor Prophets, right in the middle between Jonah and Nahum. This is the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." This morning we want to think about walking with God. If I have a goal for the message this morning, I want us to challenge us in our walk with God in this new year, for us to draw closer to God in 2021 than we were in 2020. We talked about in Sunday school how we are ever drawing closer to God. We want to draw closer to Him. Sometimes we sing the song, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." And that's my prayer this morning, that we would be a people, a church, that wants to walk with God, wants to be closer to God. And our walk needs to line up with our talk. This morning we have to be walking with God if we want to live with Him in eternity. It matters what we do today. It matters today how I walk. It's not irrelevant. That's what Micah was telling. Micah was telling Israel here what God was looking from man. It wasn't lip service. It wasn't 10,000 rivers of oil. It wasn't calves of a year old. It wasn't their firstborn children. That's not what God was looking for from them. He was looking for a relationship with His people. And they were far from Him. They were frustrated with God. We could read earlier in this chapter, they were frustrated with God not blessing them. And God says, "I would bless you if you would follow me, if you would walk with me." But they refused to do that. God wasn't looking for burnt offerings. He wasn't looking for these outward actions. He was looking for a heart that would be willing to walk with Him. Well, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, when we walk with someone, when it's normally someone we know or someone we're acquainted with, it's someone we have a relationship with. We walk with friends. We walk with acquaintances. When we walk with someone, we're going the same direction. We have the same destination in mind. We're walking together. My wife has been teaching me over the past 10 years to walk slower. When we walk somewhere, it's my tendency to get where I'm going and to leave people behind me. But when we walk with someone, we match our pace with the other person. We walk together. When I think about walking with God, I get this mental picture of a father and a son walking together, maybe hand in hand. As I thought about walking with God, I thought back to Adam and their relationship in the garden. You can turn back to Genesis chapter 3 if you want to. We're going to read a couple verses there on the relationship that God had with Adam before the fall. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And we're going to just stop there for just a second and get a little bit of context here. I don't believe this was the first time that God had walked in the garden. I know it wasn't. I believe God and Adam had a relationship where they walked through this garden and they enjoyed this garden together. That's why God created man for his glory and for relationship. God did not find this relationship in any other of his creation. And he created man in his own image to have this relationship with and to walk with and to enjoy the garden together with. I don't know what the conversations between God and Adam and Eve looked like. We don't have that recorded here in Scripture, but I believe it was an open communication, a friendship, and they walked together. And God created Adam with this ability to converse and to communicate with him. And I believe they enjoyed each other's company. But one day, something was very, very different about this walk in the garden. Coming back to verse 8 here. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." What was different about this walk in the garden? What was different about this day than the days before? Well, we know what happened. If we read the beginning of chapter 3, we know that Adam and Eve sinned. They took of the fruit that God had forbidden, and it broke this relationship, this walking together that Adam and Eve had with God. The relationship where creator and the created could walk together was broken, and there was shame and guilt and spiritual death. And Adam and Eve hid themselves amongst the trees, it says. And that's what sin does. It separates us from God and puts us in a situation like Adam and Eve here. Instead of walking with God and enjoying peace and joy, we try to hide. We try to cover ourselves with our own righteousness. That's what Adam and Eve did here. They sewed those clothing of fig leaves or leaves and tried to make clothes and cover themselves because they were ashamed. That doesn't work. Our own righteousness can never bring this relationship back together. Even though Adam and Eve sinned here and separated themselves from God, God had a plan to bring us back into this relationship with him. We talked about this in Sunday school. This wasn't a last-minute plan that God had after he saw Adam and Eve sin, that he came up with a plan to redeem us back. It wasn't a crisis situation for God. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." God had this plan to redeem us back because he wanted this relationship with us. We can maybe call it the second time. He wanted to have this communication with us. God knew in his infinite wisdom that man was going to walk away from him. Even though God wanted to walk with man, he knew that man would turn their back and walk the other way. Well, how does a man walk with God? I'd like to consider that for a few minutes. The Bible only gives us two names of men who walked with God. Can anyone give me those two names this morning of men that walk with God? And the Bible specifically says this man walked with God. Enoch? That's one. Noah. Yes, very good. Those are the two men in the Bible that the Bible says they walked with God. Turn it over a couple pages if you're in Genesis, to Genesis chapter, I'll start with chapter 6 and verse 5. There's many other godly men that we could look at this morning who I believe walk with God. We could look at David, who was a man after God's own heart. Moses, the meekest man that ever lived. We've been studying Job. The Bible says that Job was perfect. There's many men that we could look at this morning, but I would like to look at these two men a little bit this morning and learn some characteristics of a man who walks with God. Genesis chapter 6, let's start reading in verse 5 and read through verse 9. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Well, who was Noah? Let's just back up for a little bit into chapter 5 of Genesis, and we can very easily trace the lineage of Noah back to Adam. It wasn't very far back. In fact, Noah most likely could have talked with Adam's son, Seth. According to some quick calculations, Noah was probably about 14 years old when Seth died. So Adam's son, Seth, and Noah lived on the earth at the same time. Now, I don't know if Seth had any communication with Noah or not, but it's possible. And they may have had conversations, and maybe Seth shared stories of what it was like for his dad, Adam, when they walked in the garden with God. I don't know. But Enoch, who was the great-grandfather of Noah, three generations back, Enoch also walked with God. The Bible tells us here in Genesis 6 that Noah was a just man, which means he was a righteous man. And it says he was perfect in his generation, a man of integrity in his generation, and he walked with God. Let's read Genesis 5, and let's read a few verses about Enoch, because not much is said in the Bible about Enoch. Verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, tells us a little bit about Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So here we have the story of Enoch, very short story. He lived, and he did not die. God took him, it says. His death is not recorded. And it would, in comparison here, it was a young age. He was only 365 years old when God took him. And it's, when you compare that to Methuselah, his son, who lived, 969 years, a short life comparatively. But it says that Enoch walked with God. These two men are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, in the faith chapter. You can turn there. Let's read a couple of these verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 through 7, refer to Enoch and Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 through 7. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Both of these men were men of faith. And that's the first characteristic I'd like to notice of a man who walks with God. A man who walks with God is a man of faith. It requires faith. It says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. It takes faith to believe that there's a God to even walk with. I cannot prove to you this morning with science or facts that there is a God. We can see creation, we can see nature, and we believe that there's a God. But it's through faith. And it's through faith that we walk with him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk with God, we walk in faith. Remember what happened to Peter when he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. As long as he kept his eye on Jesus and he had faith in Jesus, he could walk on the water. But when he began to look around he became fearful, which is the opposite of faith. He became fearful, and that's when he began to sink. And Jesus had to reach out and to lift him up. When we walk in faith, we need to have our faith anchored in him and trust him. It's very difficult for us to walk with God if we don't trust him to lead us and to guide us. Turn to Psalm 37. Some verses here that teach us to trust God. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. He's expressing his trust and faith in God. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who is prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. David is calling us to trust in God. And verse 23 is a favorite verse of mine. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We are walking with God, not God walking with us. Sure, God is with us, but let's remember, we are walking with God. He is leading us. We are following, and he has the plan for us. He orders our steps and directs us. Do we trust God enough? Do we have enough faith in God to walk with him and allow him to lead us? Do we believe God, the promises of God in his word? Noah believed God, and with such faith that it produced an action in him. He moved with fear, Hebrews tells us. He moved with fear and built an ark. He believed what God said, and he believed it enough that he acted upon it, and he did it. And it wasn't a small task. We're going to look at that. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to learn some more things from the life of Noah in walking with God. Building an ark, almost an impossible task, humanly speaking. But Noah stepped out in faith anyway. The second characteristic I'd like to notice from Noah in walking with God is that Noah obeyed. Obedience, it's a key to walking with God. God gave Noah this tremendous task here in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits, and a window thou shalt make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And God goes on to tell Noah what he's going to do. Very specific instructions. Gopher wood. It wasn't whatever wood Noah decided would be a good wood to use. God gave him specific. Use gopher wood. He gave him specific measurements. He gave him the size of the boat. He told him one door. He told him where to place the window. How many stories to make in the boat. God gave Noah very specific instructions. And verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Obedience. It's a key to walking with God. Not only did God tell him how to make the ark and what size to make it, he told him what to put on the ark. He told him to take animals, take this food along, to provide for the animals while we're on the ark. A tremendous amount of work, but that's what Noah did. Noah believed God, and it produced obedience in his life, and he walked with God. Another characteristic of walking with God I'd like to notice from Noah is that Noah relied on God's timing. We could read this story. We know it well. We're not going to read it. It's easy for us when we walk with someone to get ahead or behind. I get a mental picture of someone walking a dog. I'm sure you've all seen someone walking a dog, and the dog is just trying to run ahead or staying back here trying to sniff something, and the owner is being jerked around by this dog. Noah walked with God. He followed God's timing. He wasn't trying to get ahead of God, and he wasn't lagging way behind God. He was walking with God. Noah followed God's timing in this building of the ark. The time span that it took to build this ark, some believe it was 100 years. I don't believe it was quite that long if we follow the timeline here. But when the day came that the ark was finished, and God told Noah, okay, now it's time for you to gather your family and all the animals, and I want you to enter the ark. Noah followed God's timing. And Noah was in the ark, it says here, 7 days before it started to rain. Now, I don't know what all went through Noah's mind as he sat there in that ark, sitting there on dry ground and waiting for something that had never happened before. It had never rained. And he's sitting there in the ark, waiting on God. And I'm sure he had to think he was the spectacle of spectacles, to sit there with his family and all these animals in a boat. But Noah had faith. He obeyed God, and he waited on God's timing. He waited on God to enter the ark. And he was inside that ark for over a year. The rain came, flooded the earth, we know the story, until the water went back down. Over a year that Noah was on that ark. He waited on God. Noah knew something about quarantine, we could say, after that time. But I believe Noah fell in step with God's timing. And we find it hard to do that, don't we? We don't like to wait for God to work. We think that our timeline would be much better than what God has planned for us. We get tired of this and we get tired of that. We want to move on. Maybe we're tired of COVID or whatever it is. God is leading us in 2021. He has a plan, and we can wait on Him. We can trust Him. God sees the big picture. He's not limited by days, weeks, months, years like we are. God has the big picture in mind. Chapter 8 and verse 16, I'd like to take our fourth characteristic than a man who's walking with God. Genesis chapter 8, verse 16. Start with verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Noah waited on God while he was in the ark. But when God said, go forth, I believe that's what Noah did. He stepped out in faith. Noah had no idea what he was going to find in this new world after the flood. But he stepped out. He went forth. He brought his family with him. He brought the animals, and they went out of the ark. Noah went out at the command of God, just as he had come in at the command of God. A man who walks with God steps out. When God says step out, he walks with God and steps out in faith. It's easy for us to stay back and cower and to make excuses on why we shouldn't step forward. But when God presents us with the opportunity to go forth, we need to do that. Step out in faith. Chapter 8, verse 20. Fifth characteristic of a man who walks with God is that he worships. That's what Noah did here. After he stepped out of the ark, it seems like one of the first things he did here was verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. We're experiencing that with that promise with another new year. While the earth remaineth, we don't need to worry about not being able to produce food in our gardens. We don't need to worry about ice covering the earth or global warming or whatever it is. God made a promise to people, and he's still keeping that promise. When we change the calendar, when we experience the new seasons, that's God's faithfulness being shown to us. But a characteristic of a man who walks with God is that he worships. Isn't that the response of a man who walks with God? We realize our inadequacy. We realize our weakness, and that our strength and power only comes from God, and it produces a heart of worship in us. Enoch and Noah walked with God. Are you and I walking with God this morning? Are we portraying the characteristics that Noah and Enoch did? Well, what does walking mean? We looked at that a little bit earlier, but we could replace the word walk with living. How are we living today? How can we know if we are walking with God or not? I'd like to give us a little bit of a checklist. And if I would have had my Sunday school book as early as I should have in the week, we could have used a checklist from the preface of Ephesians. There's a lot of good verses there that talk about walking. But first question we can ask ourselves, are we walking in the flesh or are we walking after the Spirit? Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16 and verse 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This morning, are we walking with God? Let's ask ourselves, are we walking in the flesh or are we walking in the Spirit? We can tell what we are feeding by what is growing in our lives. If I find myself really struggling with something in my life, I can normally find a connection. It's what I've been feeding. That's what's growing. Second question we can ask ourselves, am I walking with the world? James 4, verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We cannot walk with both. We can't walk with God and walk with the world. We have to make a choice. who we're going to walk with. They're going in two opposite directions, and we need to make a choice this morning of who we're going to walk with. Another question we can ask ourselves from Ephesians, are we walking worthy? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Let's read those verses. We're going to get there in our Sunday school lesson shortly. But are we walking worthy? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, what does it mean to walk worthy? Brother Kinley taught us that walking worthy means to balance the scales. We looked this morning in Ephesians 1 about the gift that Christ has given us. And Brother Kinley taught us that we know our works can't ever earn salvation, but we can walk worthy in giving back for what Christ has done for us. Are we walking in a way that God is not ashamed that we say we are walking with Him? We have been given everything that we need to walk with God. The first couple of chapters of Ephesians really bring that out, of what Christ has done for us. We have what we need to walk worthily. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Are we walking in sacrificial love? Be ye therefore fathers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us Himself for an offering and sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. Are we giving of ourselves? It's a sign of whether we're walking with God or not. Giving of ourselves is the hardest thing to do, at least it is for me. Giving up what my flesh wants to do to serve my fellow men can be so difficult. We'd rather just give a few dollars or give something extra that we have. But walking with God requires sacrificial giving. Giving of myself to walk with God. That's what Jesus did. He gave Himself to restore that relationship that was broken back there in Genesis. He wanted that relationship, and He gave of Himself to buy us back. Still in Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verse 14 through 18. Are we sleepwalking? Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How are we walking this morning? Are we spiritually awake? Are we just going through the motions, doing what seems to be the right thing to do? Or are we intentional? Maybe Brother Duane mentioned this morning how life in America is easy, and that can make us fall asleep. But let's walk awake. Let's be awake. Let's not become bored and lax. Let's be paying attention and walking circumspectly, because the devil wants to try to destroy us. He doesn't want us to walk with God. He wants us to walk with Him, and He is about out to destroy. Let's walk circumspectly in this year. Last question, are we walking in the new life? Romans chapter 1. Some of you can probably quote that, I can't. So I'm going to turn there. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's easier to say we are walking in newness of life than to say that we are dead to sin, isn't it? That old nature just doesn't want to die. It wants to keep sticking its ugly head up and trying, we have to keep cutting it off and pushing it back and using the blood of Jesus to cover that and to take that away. But this morning, as we are walking with God, are we walking in the new life? Are we experiencing victory? Victory is ours. We can claim it if we are walking with God. In closing, I'd like to read a couple verses from 1 John. The blessing of walking with God. 1 John chapter 1. I want to read 5 to 7. This is the blessing of walking with God. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The fellowship that was broken back there in the garden, we can enjoy that if we are walking with God and have been restored through the blood of Jesus. When we walk with God, we walk in the light. We are not in darkness. We are not lost about where we're at, where we're going. When we walk in the light, we have those answers. We have the truth. And we can share that with others. We're not, when we look back on 2020 or we look forward into 2021, we have truth, we have light, and we don't need to be afraid or confused by what's going on in our world today. We have the truth. There's a quote on our website on the homepage. It says, "The man who walks with God always gets to his destination." That's my heart this morning as we face this new year. God only knows what it may hold for us, but we can enter this new year with confidence when we walk with God. We can walk confidently when we walk with God. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Sin again through the power of your Son Jesus. Lord, it's not anything that we can do, but it's because of who you are and what you've done for us that we can walk with you. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here this morning who is walking away from you or not walking with you, I pray that your Spirit would speak. Lord, speak to all of us as we are on the journey of life, are different places on our path. Maybe there's someone here facing a hard time. Lift them up, give them courage and strength. Lord, I pray that there's someone that is in an easy spot,